The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC Podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC Podcast. I'm Tony Lightfoot, and I'm coming to you from Baton Rouge Metropolitan Airport, where we're waiting on my flight heading towards Montreal, and then onto Casablanca. And the reason why I'm speaking with this kind of voice is, one, I was pretty exhausted after last night's LA Night Jam, so I don't have much room to speak, and obviously we're in the middle of a relatively busy airport situation right now, so I don't want to be too loud. But the person to whom I'm traveling, well, as far as Baton Rouge Airport, he's off somewhere else. But the person that I'll be interviewing this morning after LA Night Jam is Martin Coleman. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Tony. You?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Pretty exhausted after last night, as a matter of fact. I mean, we're here right now at about 5:30 in the morning, you know, a little after, you know. So, I mean, it's the perils of traveling for a sport, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can rest on your flight, so catch up on your sleep and all that. So what else would you do?
Yeah, exactly. So, Mark, reason why I wanted to talk to you a little bit is actually it's multifaceted. I mean, you've just been appointed the new head coach of the Louisiana Monroe Warhawks for the water ski team. You know, they had been searching for quite a while for their next coach, and you know, it turned out to be one of their alma mater. So tell us a little bit about the process, about how that happened.
Yeah, so, you know, after the former coach was announced his leave, I got asked if I would become the new coach, and because I still want to compete in the 2025 World Championships, I wouldn't be able to start until after the World Championship, which was very important to me, and I could, I didn't want to start by not greeting the team, the new freshmen, the incoming students, and all that. We've handled it with the ULM Booster Association, that Tara Taylor, that's native to Monroe, will step in as a helper for the incoming freshmen and whoever has an issue with housing or don't know where to go. And the team has done a great job this last semester operating without a coach. So they also supported the idea, and that's why I decided to change my mind and agree to be the new head coach.
So from the sounds of it, you say change your mind. I mean, had you been approached before to do it, and you kind of had to step away from that selection process?
Yeah. So I had just a couple of reservations why I couldn't do it at the time, and those through the process became less and less of a issue.
Yeah. Okay. So you come into this program. You're quite familiar with the program. You've skied with this program before. I mean, you got your degree from this program. What was that degree in, by the way?
I have my bachelor's in kinesiology and my master's in applied exercise science.
Applied exercise science. But on top of that, you're a whiz kid with the theodolite and being able to survey a course in a pretty expedient amount of time.
Yes.
Okay. Tell us the story about the time where the ski team and yourself in particular actually welcomed a class section from the architecture course, you know, trying to use the field lights for the first time and actually given a real world situation of surveying a course.
Yeah, so that was for the 2012 Bayou Classic at the time, our fall tournament, and you know, we needed to survey the slalom course, survey the jump course, and survey the grid so we could use the video measure system. I didn't have my equipment at the time, so we went over to the construction building and asked politely if we could use it, their equipment, their theodolite. And the professor said yes, but he would like to take the class out. So about, you know, the next day, I find myself teaching a class on surveying a water ski lake, which was pretty cool experience.
And I'm sure that each one of them got a lot of great information and to graduate from that class with an A and continue on with their construction class.
Yep, but I don't think I've really captured them about surveying a water ski lake because none of them got their homologator rating, so maybe we get a revisit that.
And that's the thing as well. I mean, homologators are very, very few and far between in this world, you know, for the sport of tournament water skiing. You know, I mean, we need homologators. We need those types of officials, and there aren't that many out there. So, I mean, is one of the things on your mind not only to coach skiing, but also to maybe try and get them incentivized to be an official and in particular a homologator? Is that something that you would want to try and pursue?
I don't know if it's a goal, but I certainly see that you know, the sport needs new judges, new homologators, new drivers, because our current officials are unfortunately getting older and older, so we need to replenish them, and it's getting harder and harder because you know, out of college you have a lot of work commitments and everything, so it's not easy for the younger generation to spend every weekend at a water ski tournament and all that. So I certainly encourage it, and I will help anyone that, you know, wants to become a TC or a homologator or a judge. And yeah, it's more the initiative of them to do it, want to do it, than you pushing them to do it.
Now, much of what our current crop of tournament skiers do, or even those generations before, have learnt about the sport as generally come from their parents. You are fortunate enough to actually have a father who is like really, really, really deeply, intensely into the whole coaching field. I mean, I've heard stories. I mean, so far as you training on a lake that was surrounded by farmers and that kind of stuff. Kind of tell me a little bit about that story with the whole megaphones and everything back way back in the day.
Yeah. My dad likes to be heard when he coaches, and so he had a megaphone so he could, you know, talk to us easier while tricking. And I don't know if it was probably my brother. He was, you know, ready for a toe seven or something, and he was kind of hunched over. So my dad screamed, you know, straighten up. And the farmer in the field straightens up and looks around, and then My brother was looking around the lake, you know, seeing if the wakes are balanced or not. So he's looking around, and my dad screams, "What are you looking around for? Start, get going." So the farmer in the field looks around, and yeah, so those are funny memories.
Enough to make the milk curdle a little bit from time to time, huh?
Yeah, I mean, everyone coaches differently. That was my dad's style, and without him, I wouldn't be here. So, and on your podcast, so I think he did a thing or two right.
Yeah, indeed. And I mean it. Much of what you've done in the sport of tournament water skiing has kind of been in the realm of overall skiing. You know, you're a pretty well balanced athlete in slalom tricks and jump. I mean, you proved that in the jump yesterday. I mean, you jumped, what was it, like about 214 feet in the first round of LA Night Jam, is that right?
209.
Why am I getting it confused with someone else? Anyway, 209, but 209's a pretty healthy clip.
Yeah, no, it was a good tournament, good jump. You know, I thought I could make it on the first round, but we ended up tying with Will Roberts and had to do a second round and got in by the virtue of the second round. So,
and how difficult is it to actually focus on competing when you've got so many other things pushing and pulling at you at the same time? I mean, you're the homologator for the tournament, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I think everyone deals with it differently, you know, like John Travers does it as well. So over the years, I just learned to work as a TC, and then, you know, a couple of skiers before, I'll start to focus a little bit, but you know, my focus to skiing is probably the last minute or two on the dock before I put my bindings on and go out, and that works for me, or I guess it sort of works for me.
For many years, you were regarded as kind of like Mr. Unfortunate so far as overall skiing was concerned, you know, especially when it came down to the World Water Ski Championships, where you finished on the podium on several occasions. So describe to me the relief that you felt that on that glorious day in 2019 where you won the World Overall Championship in Malaysia.
Yeah, it was a great day. I mean, that was a childhood dream of mine to do it, and just that week, you know, everything worked, everything lined up. I was skiing well, the conditions were what the conditions were, and you know, I skied the best in the tournament and won the overall title.
Indeed. I mean, you just make it sound, it just rolls off the tongue, it's just so simple for you. But I mean, on the approach to those championships, I mean, you're an overall skier, which means that each event has to have relatively equal amounts of time. So did you have to work on anything specifically harder than the rest to prevail in this one, probably better than any time you've tried before?
Yes, and I mean, after the 2017 Worlds in Paris when I messed up in slalom, you know, you think about it and you either learn from it or you don't. And I made some adjustments into the 2019 season, and you know, especially in the slalom event, I changed my approach to it, of how I attack the course and which line length I started and all that. And it paid off there. So I think that was the experience taken from the years prior when it might have not worked out very well for me.
All right, then. Kind of give us a sense of where you believe overall skiing is going. I mean, taking into account that there are overall tournaments around the world now. I mean, we've got the Canada Open coming up in the first week of July. Then there's a whole slew of other tournaments that that the world water skiers are organizing for specifically for overall skiing. So kind of give us a sense of where you believe the overall event is shaping up with that in mind.
I think it's great. You know, we have great overall skiers: Joel, Louis, Dorian, myself, Danilo, Edo, that's unfortunately injured right now, and Jared Llewellyn, and the World Water Skiers Foundation are putting on overall events around the world. They're doing a tour of them, so I think it's great, and I'm attending as many of them as I can. And I think I gotta catch a flight right now, so I'll leave you to it, Tony. Thank you so much.
All right, then. Before you go, just any word of thanks or acknowledgements to those that have helped you out in your career up to this point.
Oh, thanks to everybody that supports me, and they all know who they are, and I really appreciate them. I wouldn't be able to do it without them. So, thank you, and I'll see you somewhere.
Why, thank you very much there. That is Martin Coleman, who's about to catch a flight to somewhere. Well, Atlanta, first of all, because that's where Delta flies out of Baton Rouge Airport. But we thank him for his time for this interview on the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.